coming. God bless you all.
Following program is listener supported through Consider His Word Ministries.
Consider His Word. Consider His Word. Consider His Word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to Consider His Word. Today we're going to be in Psalm 1, the very first psalm. And if you have access to a Bible, I realize you may be driving and couldn't do that, but if you can, open a Bible and join us today as we consider His Word. As we begin, I want to remind you about our website at considerhisword.org. There are many things you find there. But we would appreciate it so much if you'd click on the link that says Contact Us. We would love to hear from you. And if you'll send us your address and where you're hearing the broadcast today, we'll send you one of our little prayer journals. Now, this is a little notebook that'll easily fit into a shirt pocket or into a purse or Bible case, a place where you can write down your prayer lists and let your requests be made known unto God. And then there's a place where you can then check off and be able to go back and see how often God is faithful and does answer our prayer. And so click on the link, Consider His Word. It says Contact Us, or if you'd prefer, you can just email me directly at considerhiswordradio@gmail.com. Again, considerhiswordradio@gmail.com. Or as many do, you can write to us at Consider His Word Ministries, 30550 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, Clewiston, Florida, 33440. Let me give that to you one more time. Consider His Word Ministries, 30550 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, Clewiston, Florida, 33440. We look forward to hearing from you. Psalm 1 is a psalm that many people have memorized. I think if I was pushed, I could possibly quote it. I read it often, and I hope you do too. It's a great psalm. It's not very long. It's only 6 verses. But I want to read all of the psalm, and for the next perhaps week or two, I want to talk about the very first line of this psalm. But let's read the whole thing to start. This is Psalm 1. The psalm said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Now I want you to notice especially that first line that says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." That phrase, "blessed is the man," is found some 13 times in the Scripture. And each time the word blessed means happy. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man. And here where we find the word of man, and in fact in most of those passages of Scripture where it says blessed is the man, it's talking about man in a general sense, including women as well. You know, there's a movement today, and you see it around in the social media, about people trying to find a way to be happy, whether it be in journaling or in productivity or whatever, There are so many books talking about how you can be happy. You can be happy if you have this particular morning routine, you find happiness. Or if you eat these particular foods, you will find happiness. I remember the song years ago, there were several people that recorded it that said, "Don't worry, be happy." Well, I'm not going to go over all 13 of these statements that says, "Blessed is the man," but I'd like to take a look at a few of them, starting with this one here. You know, in the Psalm 1, he said, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. So it starts with all these negatives. He does not do these things. And that's not where I want to spend my time. Notice this in verse 2. He says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." If you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy, you must delight in the Lord. You must find your joy in the Lord. You know, to delight means to take pleasure in the things of God. We're to enjoy our relationship with the Lord. It shouldn't be grievous. It shouldn't be weighty. In fact, remember when Jesus said, "Take my burden upon you, and you shall find rest. Come unto me, all you be that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he said his burden was not light, was not heavy. You know, remember, many churches and the early Christians used to learn about God and about his word by repeating questions and answers. In fact, we know that some of the early Native Americans were taught about God by using these questions and answers. They're sometimes called the catechism. Now, we don't really use them in our Baptist churches and in some of our more evangelical churches, but the first question in that catechism was, what is the chief end of man? What is the purpose of man? And the answer was, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. There's that delight in the Lord. Those who are truly born again ought to enjoy their walk and joy with their relationship with God. Now listen, if you're not saved, if you've never trusted Christ, then you should fear God's wrath and find your way to the Lord. Bow before him and trust him as your Savior. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him." What a find our delight in the Lord, and our delight in serving the Lord. There's another passage of Scripture that says, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." That we enjoy our relationship with him. Now, very quickly, another place where we find blessing, where the Scripture says, "Blessed is a man," is in Psalm 32. We're still in the Psalm. And again, notice a phrase. Blessed, I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 both. This is Psalm 32. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." In other words, here, blessed is the one who has been forgiven. There should be a happiness in our soul, knowing that when we trust Christ as our Savior, that our sin has been taken away from us. Here, the Scripture uses the word impute, whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. To impute means to give credit or ascribe to something or to a person. You know, we see this when in Romans 4, where the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. You see, he was saved by faith. It was imputed unto him, that salvation. It's given to us. Faith is counted for our righteousness. We're saved by faith. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we can live in a freedom knowing that our sin is covered under the blood. Now, are we going to continue in sin? We shouldn't, but we do. And when we sin, The Bible says that we are to confess our sin, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, how is this possible that God could take away our sin, that he does not impute our iniquity to him? I want to take you to 2 Corinthians 5. I think this is a verse that is often overlooked, that many don't understand what this verse is saying, but it's so important to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, speaking about Jesus, says, "For he has made him," Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You see, how is that sin removed? It's because Jesus laid our sin on the Lord Jesus Christ. We go back to Isaiah 55:6. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him," laid on Jesus, "the iniquity of us all. And then he gave us his righteousness." You see, this is what the scripture is talking about when he says, I'm going to read it again, "He made him," Jesus, "to be sin for us." God laid on Jesus all of our sin. All of your sin was laid on Jesus at the cross and died with him. That sin is under the blood. That sin is forgiven. It's taken away. It's kind of hard to grasp and hard to understand. But then when Jesus took our sin upon himself, the verse goes on and says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It means that Jesus took our sin and gave us, by grace, his righteousness. Everything that Jesus is, his perfectness, his holiness, becomes ours when we trust Christ as our Savior. He gave us his righteousness. And I want you to notice that it was a gift. It's not something that we have to work for. It's not something that we have to try to earn. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast." Imagine how boastful we would be if we could say that we earned our righteousness or that we earned our salvation. Oh, we would be pointing to ourselves, "Look how good I am. Look how great I am. Look at all of these." You know, you begin to sound like that Pharisee. Remember that Pharisee that was praying in the temple? The Bible says he lifted up his eyes and he said, "God, I thank you I'm not like other people. Oh, I tithe and I give and I do this and I do that." And he was so proud of himself. The other man that was there bowed his head, the Bible says, smote upon his breast and said, "Father," and he called upon the Lord, bowed his head before him, was humble before him, because he recognized that he could do nothing for himself, that God saved us from our sin. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity." He takes it from us. Now, we're not quite done. We have a couple more. And so join us again next week when we open the scripture once again and consider his word.
Consider his word. Consider his word. His word.
Thanks for listening today. Like us on Facebook and visit our website at considerhisword.org. This is Pastor Arlen Payne saying, till next time, God bless you as you consider his word.
All this suffering. there's a better place where